thank you for being here this morning. And I'll get set up here just a sec. And my guess is the reason we have this very large room is that Dr. Harvey is bringing in the large crowds here, which will come in the next 20, 30 minutes or so. But in the meantime, I'll get us going here. So I'm Brian Johnson. I'm with Lane County Public Health in Eugene, Oregon. If you're not familiar with Eugene or with Lane County, it's where the University of Oregon is. It's where the Oregon Ducks are. You may be familiar with their football team. I'll get you going here. But I'm an epidemiologist there and have been there for the past couple of years or so. My background really is actually in health promotion and education. I have sort of grown into this role. And it grew out of an opportunity that came from, many of you may be familiar with it, Oregon has been experimenting a bit with coordinated care organizations. In Oregon, we have essentially 15, 16 experiments going on around the state, which are an experiment around the Affordable Care Act, with the idea of having the locally driven organizations, which are essentially a partnership between the local health department and our insurance, Medicaid insurance companies throughout the state of Oregon. It's quite an opportunity right now. And in some cases, you know, that partnership varies quite a bit. In our county, in particular, our coordinated care organization happens to overlap very much with the county boundaries. Others happen to be, you know, 3, 4, 10 counties, very large geographic areas. So they vary all over the map. But in particular, in our county, they invested in our health department, and they funded three positions, of which one of them was mine. And so this project that I'm going to talk with you about this morning, it's not really going to be super rigorous. My intent was really to describe for you how a small to moderate-sized health department took advantage of GIS to really start conversations in the community to talk about health, and in particular the role of place and how it drives health. And so that's what I'm up to this morning. I have no financial relationships to reveal this morning, so just move on beyond that. And since we're such a small group, I'm kind of curious who's in the room. Do we have local health departments in the room this morning? Mostly local health departments. Okay. State health departments? Academics? Okay. Others? Where are you from?
State office.
Okay. Gotcha. Great. So again, Lane County is located in Oregon. It's about 2 hours south of Portland. We have a population of about 350,000 or so. And to put it in context, since a lot of folks, it's hard to, if you're not familiar with western states, the counties tend to be quite large. Lane County is approximately the size of Connecticut in area. It stretches from the Pacific Ocean to the crest of the Cascade Mountains, and in between is the Willamette River Valley. Where the bulk of the population is located in Eugene. We have about two-thirds of our population in Eugene, and then the remaining population is scattered throughout the county in small communities and rural communities, and I'd say the vast majority of the county is forest land. But we are the third largest metropolitan area in Oregon, although the vast majority of the folks live in the Portland metro area, to put it in context for you. And again, I mentioned that Lane County is, to give you a sense of the size of our health department has about 50 staff members, although we are part of a larger Health and Human Services department, which is probably closer to 500, which includes our community health centers as well as our behavioral health programs and some others. And so there's lots of opportunity there for overlap and partnership going on. But in particular, most of our core public health services are happening out of our division of about 50 staff members. And a position for an epidemiologist in our health department was a very new opportunity for us. So that helps put it in context of what we're up to and what our capabilities might be around this sort of work. What I wanted to share with you this morning, I will talk a bit about, I'm going to walk you through how we selected our indicators, the geography we worked with, talk a little bit about how we scored and ranked to create this composite map that we put together, and the mapping and the analysis that went into it, and then give you some examples of how this is starting to translate into some policy discussions at a very minimal level so far, but we're hoping that we'll start to grow into really greater discussions about where health and policy overlap quite a bit. as I mentioned, this really grew out of the opportunity that we had with our coordinated care organization and the funding that went into it. What we knew was happening, we were struggling with, is that discussion that was going on between our insurance company, the Medicaid insurance programs, and our local health department was that sort of disconnect between clinical practice and community population-based health. And we knew we needed to start having this discussion, starting to push the discussion in the direction of what does it really mean to invest in our community, to broaden our focus, to really drive the health discussion in the direction of a community-based discussion. And really, if we were going to lower the costs of health in our healthcare in our community, it was going to mean an investment in how we were structuring our communities and how we were investing in particular in our public health. And the important part there was that what we knew had to happen in that discussion is understanding that really we had to get this down below our county level. Almost all of our discussion so far about public health in Lane County had been driven by data that was countywide, and given the wide geography of our county, the way the communities are distributed, and it was important to start drilling down to talk about what does it look like on the coast versus up in the Cascade Mountains versus in the Willamette Valley. There's quite a difference in those communities, and if you're driving across the county, it's a four-hour drive east to west, maybe an hour drive north to south in the middle part of the county. So we knew we needed to start pushing that discussion. What we wanted to do is really to describe the spatial distribution throughout the county, and we wanted to get it down to a level that at least talked about it at the small city level, but maybe smaller if we could do that. And the common discussion was in our community was if we were out in Florence, which was on the Pacific coast there, they would say, you know, we're not Eugene. We're a community of 10,000 people. We're not Eugene. So tell us about us, because everything you're telling us seems to be about Eugene. That seems to be driving the health indicators. So we said, okay, we'll try to get this story for a more localized level. So what we wanted to do was actually mimic some of the work that's been done with the county health rankings. And I'm assuming most of you are, is anyone not familiar with the county health rankings? Okay. So the same idea of being able to compare our communities throughout our county in much the same way that we could compare the counties throughout the state of Oregon, or, you know, across the nation, any state could compare county to county and see how they ranked against one another. So we thought we would do the same thing with our local communities. And what we started out with is, well, what did we want to map? And the county health rankings mapped a number of things, and what was selected specifically in that were indicators that could be compared across any county in the nation, and that there was regular and consistent collection of data about. The question was, well, what exists that we can actually drill down to the smaller level in our communities? And they weren't the same data. I mean, much of the data is not collected for use at anything below the county level. And so we did some brainstorming, and we knew we wanted to map a number of things. We knew we wanted to do, like in the county health rankings, we wanted to talk about health outcomes. We wanted to look in particular at particular health behaviors and the built environment and the structures around that, and also talk about the social and economic factors and how they interrelated with one another. We had a list, I would say, of about 200 indicators to start with. That was, you know, we brainstormed across the health department, said, what if we could map something, what would you want to see mapped across our communities? And of course, that was far too many. We also found that much of those, we just couldn't map them below the county level. But we did come up, and we knew we had a small, this was our opportunity to demonstrate the value in mapping, first of all. So we had a small investment in this. We couldn't possibly go after 200 indicators, but we were able to drill it down to closer to about 15 to 20. And there, what you see up on the screen there are those indicators that we were looking at, kind of grouped for you. The health outcomes, we were looking at years of potential life lost. We did want to look at life expectancy, but the geography we chose, that actually was not an option. Years of potential life lost turned out to be much more effective in that. We looked at specific health behaviors, and in this case, we looked at diet and exercise as a grouping. We looked at point of sale as another clustering, and we looked at immunizations. So that's, you know, that's a kind of a random collection when you really look at it, but it was a good place to start for us. And we also looked at social and economic indicators such as education and income. I will say that what I'm going to show you here, of course, is based, the mapping that comes out here it's entirely driven by the indicators we've chosen. We could have chosen any number of things, and it's going to change how this map looks. But what it was a starting point for us to show that if we grew from this, there was much more that we could show, and the potential was here. But it's really being driven by diet and exercise and point of sale and some social and economic indicators. The geography, we ended up, we went around about this and discussed it quite a bit. I mean, certainly the opportunity was there to map a zip code, but if we mapped a zip code, some of our zip codes are extremely large in our community. I mean, because of the rural aspects of it, they would have covered the entire swath of the western side of the county there, for example, one of the zip codes. So that was still not quite at the level we wanted to get at. So we talked about census blocks and tracts, and in the end, that's what we settled on. Although I'll tell you, after doing that, I think we wanted to pull up just a little bit. Census blocks and tracts, first of all, folks have trouble relating to them. I mean, I don't know how many folks in this room know what census tract you live in or census block you live in, but you probably know what neighborhood you're in your community or roughly that aspect of it. And so when we mapped this, we did end up with blocks and tracts, and we clustered them. We went down to the smaller, a little bit larger geographies in the metropolitan area and in the incorporated communities throughout the county. In the end, that was 144 areas. That was probably far too many, of course. But that worked out well to at least start out with. What we did was cluster. What we wanted to do was be able to provide one single map. And, of course, the challenge was if you wanted to show all of these indicators together, what would that really look like and how meaningful would that be? But, of course, the county health rankings provided a good methodology for doing that. And essentially what we did was we did several things. One is we standardized all of the rankings since they're all over the map as far as how they were scored. You know, you'd have percentages and you'd have ranks and you'd have rates. What we wanted to do is transform them into essentially a Z-score, which would allow us to have a scale from -1 to 1 on these rates and ranks and then sum them together to create one composite rank, essentially. And we weighted the scores because what we were trying to do was show, much like in the county health rankings, the contributions of the certain items that we were looking at. And so we used the methodology that was used in the county health rankings. So health outcomes account for half of the rank, and that's how it was weighted. So years of potential life loss actually accounts for a significant amount of what you see in this map. In fact, it's probably the vast majority of it. The health behaviors were accounted for about 20%, and the social and economic behaviors about 30%. And essentially the idea there was that the social and economic and health behaviors were going to drive the health outcomes, but we wanted to weight the health outcomes as showing essentially this is what's happening, regardless of what's happening in social and the health behaviors and built environment. So you could sum those all together, and then we had a score that could then be ranked against one another. And then we mapped those scores, and we mapped them into quartiles. And so what you see up here on the screen there is essentially those quartiles. And you get some interesting swaths in our community. The dark blue is the lowest scores, where the darkest green is the highest scores. And then in between you have the light blue and lighter yellow or green up there. But the broad swath of dark blue is a coastal range. So there's actually a range of mountains in between the Oregon coast and the Willamette Valley there. And then the more of the lighter blue and lighter greens up to the western side there are the Cascade Range there. And the darker green is the Willamette Valley, which is the bulk of where the population is. But, of course, right in the metropolitan area are where all the dark blues are showing up in the metropolitan area. So it starts to speak more to that built environment. What we then did with the data is to try to display, at least for us, as we were starting to look at, well, okay, if we wanted to compare these individual areas, we want to have a sense, be able to explain individual differences if we wanted to start drilling down. And so what we did was break it out into these, I think of them as thermometers almost. But essentially, there is what you see here is the percent contribution to any given score. I know you can't really read it up on the screen, but the bars there, the color bar is the percentage of any given contribution. For the bulk of it, the dark purple bar, of course, is the years of potential life loss. Because of how it was weighted, it was accounting in most cases for about half of the score, but it varies as you drill down into the more extremes. This is more in sort of the middle of the rankings, which you see up there. But what it allowed us to do is to look at any given block or census tract and say, what's driving this score are, you know, years of potential life lost, and it turns out maybe obesity in this particular factor. You'll see there's one about the fourth one down that's kind of unusual out of all of that cluster there. It's actually being, rather than being driven by the years of potential life lost, it's actually got a greater contribution there that seems to be social and economic, which is interesting how it popped out in the middle of this. It's actually what's putting them more in the negative direction is actually their income and housing costs right in the middle. So it was, you could take some of these and actually see where there's specific differences across them. And then the other thing we did was actually create a quick tool in which we could pull up any given track and then, of course, look and compare the values and see how they rank. And not only what the overall rank was, which, of course, was useful for our discussion, but also to break it down, if you wanted to talk about the story of, okay, what does it look like just to look at years of potential life lost? Of course, you could look to see how it ranked on that. Or if you wanted to talk about overall health behaviors, or if you wanted to drill down into the social and economic, you could talk about that individual story. And so we could have a discussion that was around those factors and how they were driving health in the particular community. And so where that took us is really to the point where we wanted to share this information, of course. We wanted to drive it towards action. And so the idea at this point is to take it out into the smaller communities and also to share with our policymakers locally. And really the potential here, and of course I'm sure many of you see the potential from the work you do already, but we saw a number of them. One is to identify inequities, and in fact, we've already been able to do that. Much of the discussion that was going on in our county was essentially, you know, we're a very homogenous community. It was always the discussion. There's not much difference, really. We're not expecting to see inequities across our community, and that's what folks were saying. Of course, we knew they were there, and this we knew our county differed in many ways from much of the state, but what we wanted to do is say, okay, the way our county is structured, in fact, the geography and even the history and the way our communities have grown up have created inequities. And in fact, in the Eugene Springfield area, we saw that pop out very clearly. For example, there's a neighborhood within about 2 miles of the lowest ranked neighborhood in our mapping and the highest ranked neighborhood are within 3 miles of each other. And they are really only separated by one road across the community of Eugene and Springfield. And that was quite powerful to reveal to folks that, yeah, you know, right next to each other there's these major differences. And not only are there differences in how those two neighborhoods are structured, in fact, as to who lives there, the economic, the incomes of those two neighborhoods and the racial and ethnic makeup were quite different from one another. And I don't think folks were really ready to admit that that was going on, but in fact is very evident from that. Of course, it's an opportunity to assess and model the impacts from policy over time. We haven't had that opportunity yet because of these maps are very new. This is also a single snapshot in time. What we're planning to do in the future is actually do more of a historical mapping and also move forward and map as this changes over time to actually start updating the data and being able to compare that over time. I think that will give us an opportunity to really talk about, in particular, what's happening in the coordinated care organizations and how that might be changing the distribution. The other opportunity there is to target and prioritize resources. We've already done that. In particular, we compared a number of the smaller rural communities. We have a rural advisory council of our coordinated care organization who wanted to choose a particular community to start experimenting a bit on what they could invest in. And we were able to compare each of the smaller incorporated cities and say, this is how they rank against one another. You know, this community is being driven a little more by obesity, this community is being driven a little more by tobacco, or maybe it's just economics, but we could drill down and talk about that. Also, the opportunity to monitor and evaluate, which I've talked about, and the other is engaging community and policymakers. And I think the most powerful thing that has come out of this is actually what this is it's easy for folks to relate to where they live. When we pop up a map in front of them, instead of talking about the indicators and in particular, what we talk about is, you know, this is how it looks across the county. As it turns out, look, there are differences. We can acknowledge that there are differences, but in many ways there are more similarities than differences across the county. So at the same time, if we've been able to say, yes, indeed, there are community-driven differences, there are also more similarities. So it's possible we can do more universal public health, and that will have some pretty wide impacts across our county. But also, we can talk to Cottage Grove, for example, a community about half an hour south of Eugene Springfield, and say, yeah, we recognize there are some differences here, and here's what we're talking about. For example, in Cottage Grove, we discovered that not only is there a higher tobacco use rate than most of the county, the density of tobacco outlets is about 7 times the county average. And maybe there's a point where there's too many tobacco outlets, or maybe there's a point where you could say there's enough tobacco outlets at least. And so we could talk about potential policies maybe around regulation, limiting the distribution or concentration. And that's a place where that community could really glom onto it and find something that they wanted to move with and move on with about. So there's many opportunities in this, and I think that's where we want to go with it. We want to grow this and grow it over time. As I mentioned, we want to start tracking it across time, and I think that will start to drive our conversations in the direction we want to go. And I think that's where I'll leave it. At this point, I want to acknowledge the team that's gone into this, into helping to pull this together. It was much of it was a partnership with the state, the Oregon Health Authority, and state epidemiologists who helped to provide much of the data behind this, but also our growing GIS team within Lane County Public Health. So I think, yeah, we can probably take questions. How did we collect it? Well, we were working with existing data sets. So what it turns out with, for example, let me go back to the types of data we had. When we were looking at years of potential life loss, I mean, that was drawn specifically from our health vital statistics data. So, and we had, because the vital statistics includes addresses of everybody, we were able to use that to specifically map to where they are in the concentrations in the community. BMI, that was an interesting one. That actually grew out of, it's based on driver's license data, which, if you'll be interested, this came out of the environmental public health tracking work out of the CDC. They've funded a number of institutes around the state. And in Oregon, they experimented with driver's license. And it turns out, even though we can anticipate that folks don't report their height and weight accurately, as you might anticipate, they do so consistently across time. So while it's not you couldn't say this is the BMI of our communities, you can certainly track trends across time, and you can do comparisons relative to one another. So that's, because of that, we were able to drill down into very localized data on that as well. Points of sale, of course, this is drawn specifically from existing data sets. And immunizations, we were just looking at our registries. So all of that data was selected because it could be reported at that geography. But as I mentioned, I think we do want to pull up a bit, and I think that would allow us to look into other things. For example, the BRFIS, the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System, data on tobacco use that, of course, was never intended to be used below the county level. It wasn't sampled for that reason, but certainly if we get it at the larger geographies, we can at least get some reliable results around that. And so we've been able to map it at that geography, too. So, yeah. Yeah?
That was also my
Yes. I think we've at least tempted them on that because the potential is there. I think the hard part is they haven't, most of the data hasn't ever been collected for the potential of drilling down below the county. So, but they've now seen the potential. In particular, with the partnerships that are going on with the coordinated care organizations, we do know we need to talk about it, a smaller geography. So they're starting to work in that direction. And in particular, I mentioned the environmental public health tracking work. Because of their focus, they are starting to drill down at much smaller geographies. In fact, they've talked about doing life expectancy, just starting there, and say, you know, because that's a powerful tool. If we can just simply talk about that and the differences across the state, that could. could be a good starting point. I think so too, and they've mapped a lot of stuff that, while not necessarily as specific geographies, are they overlap in a lot of ways. Yeah, yeah, that's a great suggestion. We wanted to do that, but did not get to that point. We did have in-house GIS. What happened in our... So our GIS team, up until about 2 years ago, was in our Public Works department almost entirely. But what they did was move into our Information Services team. And so now they had a mission to serve every department, and they were quite hungry to find opportunities to demonstrate what they could do. So we worked with that team and brought them on board, and really the intent there was not only to show the value of what we could do with this particular type of mapping, but how it might serve our health department and our health and human services department in general. So, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much for this excellent presentation.